This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
at GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we profile some of the most amazing developments in science and technology. And with us once again, we have a special guest, astronomer Ken Croswell, who will talk to us about some of the latest things in the heavens. Did you know that the Arecibo Radio Telescope, that giant radio telescope used as a prop in James Bond movies, and also the movie Contact, has been the workhorse for people interested in what's out there in outer space? It's going to be junked. That's right. Two cables snapped recently, and the National Science Foundation has said that it's simply too dangerous to fix it. So one of the most iconic instruments of science will be mothballed. And then let's talk about meteor showers. Did you know that there's a meteor shower coming your way? Maybe you've never seen one. They're quite spectacular. And we'll talk to astronomer Kenny Croswell about that. And speaking about astronomy, some astronomers are not too happy with SpaceX. SpaceX has been making headlines, pioneering cheap, disposable rockets, rockets that can be reused over and over again. And SpaceX wants to put maybe 1,000 mini satellites into orbit. And some astronomers are saying, what does that mean for the night sky if every time you photograph the night sky, you bump into one of these mini satellites? But once again, with us today is astronomer Kenny Croswell of Berkeley, author of Alchemy of the Heavens and a number of great books. And if you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers, and I have about 4 million fans on Facebook. So let's just jump right into it. Once again, our special guest today is astronomer Ken Croswell of Berkeley. Well, leading off, the Arecibo Radio Telescope, one of the workhorses of radio astronomy, is being junked. Not one, but 2 cables snap, collapsing the radio telescope. It's an iconic telescope seen in movies. Maybe you've seen the movie with James Bond and also with Jodie Foster, Contact. I visited the Arecibo Radio Telescope when I was in Puerto Rico once, and it is incredible. You go up an elevator shaft all the way to the top, and there you see this gigantic radio telescope bigger than a football field, and you almost feel like you're communing with the stars, because this radio telescope can receive signals from distant star systems. So, Ken, first question is, what was your reaction when you first heard that the radio telescope in Arecibo, Puerto Rico, is going to be mothballed? What was your first impression?
Well, I was sad to hear it was going to go away. As you know, it has just recently collapsed, so there's just no way that instrument is going to be able to do what it had been doing. As you may know, the very first planet discovered around other stars were discovered by the Arecibo telescope back in 1991. Alex Boshin used that telescope to discern variations in radio waves coming from a pulsar in the constellation Virgo. And he discovered 2 and then later a 3rd planet going around that pulsar. Those were the very first planets discovered outside of our solar system. And it was the Arecibo telescope that did it. So, yes, it's definitely disappointing. Of course, there are many other radio telescopes here on Earth. Radio astronomers are important to astronomers because it probes a whole different wavelength range from visible light. So we learn things in radio that we don't learn from visible light, just as we learn things from visible light observations that we don't learn from radio observation. So, yes, it's sad, but, you know, science moves on, I guess you could say.
And speaking about radio telescopes, recently radio telescopes were lashed together to give us the first photograph of a black hole in the galaxy M87. So how was that done? How do you lash together several radio telescopes to get the effective radio telescope of one gigantic radio telescope the size of the planet Earth, capable of photographing the event horizon of a black hole way out there in outer space? How does that work?
Well, this is something that's really nice and is much easier to do with radio waves than with light waves. It's called interferometry. You're able to link together separate telescopes, and you get a higher resolution, a higher sharpness of the resulting images. And the reason that's so much easier to do with radio waves than with light waves is because radio waves are big. Sometimes they can be inches or feet or even yards in size. And so the precision with which you have to line up your telescopes only needs to be about as precise as that wavelength. In contrast with optical light, with visible light, the wavelength is so tiny and it's microscopic, you have to line up your telescopes as precisely as those tiny, tiny wavelengths. And that's why optical interferometry is much harder than radio interferometry. But radio astronomers have been doing interferometry for decades. There's an array in New Mexico, a very large array, the VLA, and that has been doing interferometry for a very long time. And, in fact, that array helped to confirm the planets around that pulsar I mentioned a few minutes ago, because it measured a more precise position for the pulsar in Virgo in order to pin down whether the variations in its radio waves were indeed coming from orbiting planets, and indeed they were. That pulsar has three planets we now know of, and it was the Arecibo radio telescope that discovered it.
Now, let me ask you about the advantages of radio telescope over optical telescopes. The galactic center, the center of our galaxy, should be a fireball illuminating the night sky, because it's at the center of the galaxy. But when you look in the direction of the galactic center, we see nothing. It's all covered up with dust clouds. So how do we know so much about the galactic center? Is it because radio telescopes can pierce through all the dust and debris that separate us from the galactic center?
Yes, that, and also infrared observations. Both infrared and radio waves have longer wavelengths than visible light, and it turns out that those longer wavelengths are able to penetrate the dust that blocks the visible light from the galactic center. If you look at the galactic center, you can tell that there's something going on there. You know, even at optical wavelengths, you see that there's more starlight in general coming from that part of our galaxy. But in terms of actually looking at these stars that are going around the black hole at the center of our galaxy, you need infrared observations, which track those stars. Also, the radio observations tell you about the gas, because gas, since there's full of gas, emits radio waves. That's one of the biggest advantages to using radio telescopes, is it maps the gas. And in fact, you've, I'm sure, heard of the 21-centimeter line, which atomic hydrogen gas emits. We can track that throughout the Milky Way galaxy. We even see it in other galaxies. That's because it emits radio waves from all over the galaxy, and we can detect them.
So isn't it true that when we made the transition to radio telescopes, that really opened up a whole new realm of the universe that we could not see with optical telescopes, which are largely obscured by dust clouds and debris and stuff like that? So didn't that create a whole new renaissance, especially after World War II, when this technology was perfected?
Yes, every time we look at a different wavelength.
Okay, we have to take a short commercial break. But after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of radio telescopes and meteor showers. Have you ever seen a gigantic meteor shower lighting up the night sky? Here's your chance. And once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call, 612-564-8135 is the number to call if you want to ask a question on National Radio. Give us a call.
Attention business owners, body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is, once again, astronomer Ken Croswell, author of a number of great books, including Alchemy of the Heavens, Magnificent Mars, The Universe at Midnight, a number of great books. And once again, we're talking about the universe, what we know about everything that's out there in outer space. Now, before World War II, of course, we had optical telescopes, but unfortunately, a lot of the universe is obscured by dust clouds. At the very center of our galaxy, there's a raging black hole in the galactic nuclei, which should be a fireball that lights up the night sky, comparable to the moon in terms of intensity. And yet, when you look in the direction of the Milky Way galaxy, what do you see? Almost nothing. Dust clouds obscure the way, but radio telescopes allow you to pierce right through to track stars, to track the center of the galaxy, and it's opened up a whole new realm of information about the universe. But unfortunately, one of the workhorses for that revolution, the Arecibo radio telescope, well, unfortunately, it's going to be mothballed. Not one, but two cables snapped recently, and it's simply too dangerous to allow workers to repair that radio telescope. And some people think that's a tremendous loss. Now, isn't it also true that the Arecibo radio telescope has opened up the world, as you mentioned, to exoplanets, not just black holes, not just supernovae, but also exoplanets that are orbiting other star systems.
Yes, indeed. As I tell the story in my book, Planet Quest, it was the Arecibo Radio Telescope that discovered the very first planets going around another star. Alex Voshin was using that telescope. Ironically enough, he discovered the pulsar because the radio telescope was broken at the time that he was conducting his observations. He wanted to look for a particular type of pulsar far away from the galactic plane, which is not a place where these particular pulsars tended to be found. And it was only because the radio telescope at Arecibo was broken, it could only look at whatever part of the sky happened to drift overhead. And in doing this, he actually discovered two pulsars. One of them turned out to be quite interesting because it helped test Einstein's general theory of relativity, because another neutron star was going around that pulsar. But the greater harvest was his discovery of this pulsar in the constellation Virgo that turned out to have three planets. And those were the very first planets ever found. Two of them were found in 1991, and the third one was found in 1993. So Alex Voshin and Dale Frail made that discovery back in the early 90s. That was before we had actually detected any planets around ordinary stars. The first planet detected around stars like the Sun, that came in 1995 around the star 51 Pegasus.
So not only did the radio telescope at Arecibo give us an inkling about what lies behind the dust clouds, black holes, exploding stars, not only has it given us information about planets orbiting other star systems, but it's also given us some indication that maybe, just maybe, one day we'll find indications of extraterrestrial communications. This is the SETI project, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. We've had a number of those people on the radio waves, but Ken, let's be honest. The radio telescope in Arecibo and around the world, have they ever picked up one, just one reputable, verifiable communication with an alien civilization in outer space? Yes or no?
No, not at all. And in fact, that actually convinces some people that maybe these aliens don't exist, or if they do exist, they're pretty rare. Or if they're not rare, maybe they're sufficiently smart to keep their mouth shut and not let the rest of the universe know about their existence. So, no, there has been no detection of any aliens via radio waves or any other form of radiation.
And as a side note, there's something called the METI project, which actually wants to use radio telescopes like the one at Arecibo to shoot messages saying, here we are, we are alive, we're Earthlings, third planet from the sun, and advertise our existence to aliens by shooting a radio signal that says, here we are. Now, do you think that's a good idea? The late Stephen Hawking thought it was not a good idea, pointing to what happened to the Aztecs when they met Cortez and his men. What are your thoughts?
I think advertising our presence to the rest of the universe is a really dumb thing to do, because other civilizations could be much more advanced than ours and could snuff us out if they wanted to. We have no indication whatsoever, of course, that there are any civilizations out there, but if there are, we have no idea if they're friendly or hostile. So it would be prudent for us to keep our mouths shut. That's my opinion.
Okay, well, let's also talk about meteor showers. One is coming our way. Maybe you've never seen a meteor shower before. They're quite spectacular. So tell us a little bit about the Geminiade meteor shower that our viewers may be able to detect.
Yes, I have the cover story in the December 5th issue of Science News. It's all about the Geminiade meteor shower. And this is something that you can see without a telescope. You don't need to know where the constellation Gemini is. All you need is a dark sky. Avoid light. If you need light, try to use a red flashlight. Red light is not as bad for your eyes as white light is. And these meteors will peak on the night of December 13th. That's a Sunday night going into Monday morning, the pre-dawn hour. We can expect at their strongest, the Geminis will give us over 100 meteors an hour. That's if you're away from city lights, got dark skies. The reason this year is so fantastic is because the moon is new. on the night of December 13th. So the moon will not interfere. The moon will not wash out the meteor. So conditions this year are really good. The interesting thing about the Geminids, aside from their strength, is that they come not from a comet, but instead from an asteroid. Most meteor showers, such as the Perseus in August, they come from debris shed by a comet. The Geminids were the very first meteor shower linked to an asteroid. In 1983, the infrared astronomical satellite detected a small asteroid, now named Phaethon, that is the source of the Geminid meteor shower. It sheds particles into space somehow and produces the meteoroid stream. When those particles burn up in our atmosphere, we see the streak of light, which is what's called the meteor. If any of those particles actually make it to Earth's surface, the resulting object is called a meteorite. So when they're drifting in space, these particles are called meteoroids. The flash of light you see when they burn up in the atmosphere is called the meteor. And if any of it makes it to the Earth's surface, that's called a meteorite.
And roughly speaking, how big are these chunks of rock and debris that are hitting the Earth? Roughly how big are they when they hit the atmosphere? Most of them, of course, burn up and never reach the Earth. But how big are we talking about? A basketball, a pebble? How big, roughly speaking, would some of these meteors be?
Most of them are smaller than a dust grain. So these meteors are very tiny. The typical meteor that you see is coming from a very small particle. However, the very brightest ones, for example, what we call fireballs, these are meteors that are brighter than the planet Venus, those are coming from larger objects that probably can make it through the Earth's atmosphere. But the vast majority of these meteors are coming from very small particles, smaller than a dust grain, smaller than a sand grain.
And isn't it true that we don't really track these things unless they're, let's say, much bigger than a football field? And most of those asteroids are pretty safe. They're not going to hit us anytime soon. But the smaller ones smaller than a football field, one just bypassed the Earth just a few weeks ago. And we were blissfully unaware of the fact that an object about the size of an apartment building was slowly drifting in our vicinity, closer than the radius from the Earth to the Moon, but totally unobserved, totally unnoticed by our sensors. So doesn't that make you worried that one day we may get caught off guard by a piece of debris floating in outer space with our name on it?
Well, the small ones are hard to find because they're so unprominent. But Phaethon is actually considerably larger. It's about 4 miles in diameter, as was revealed by the Arecibo telescope that we have been talking, because the asteroid came close to Earth.
Again, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call, 612-564-8135 is the number to call if you want your thoughts to be heard on almost 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. So, give us a call.
Listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
I'm Jeremy Scott. California has certified the results of its presidential election, pushing Joe Biden over the threshold of 270 Electoral College votes to win the presidency. Secretary of State Alex Padilla announced the certification Friday. The states meet on December 14th to officially cast their electoral votes. Results of the Electoral College vote are brought before Congress in early January. President-elect Biden spoke about the fallout of the coronavirus at a press conference in Delaware on Friday.
To truly end this crisis, Congress is going to need to fund more testing, as well as a more equitable and free distribution of the vaccine. We need more economic relief to bridge through 2021 until this pandemic and economic crisis are over.
Meanwhile, Vice President Mike Pence met with the CDC in Atlanta to discuss the state of the vaccines. The FDA could grant emergency authorization on December 17th. USA Radio News. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is optimistic about a deal being reached on a stimulus bill.
Excited about the prospect that there's a bipartisan bill, because I told members I'm not bringing any more bills that are not bipartisan. We wanted to show what needs to be done in the interest of negotiation. They're negotiating. It's a good product. It's not everything we want. Don't get me wrong. I don't want the Republicans to think that this is a dream come true.
The government also runs out of money next week, and Pelosi vowed to keep the government open. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
More than 100,000 Americans are hospitalized with the virus, which is an all-time high. According to Johns Hopkins University, the U.S. is averaging more than 200,000 new cases and 1,800 deaths every day. Arizona reporting 5,000 new cases for the second straight day on Friday. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
This is Science Fantastic.
Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is astronomer Ken Croswell of Berkeley, author of a number of great books, including Alchemy of the Heavens. And when we last left off, we were talking about meteor showers, especially when the Earth goes through the debris trail of a comet or a passing asteroid. And you can catch it in the next few days. And once again, it's a Geminid meteor shower. Now, by the way, I was looking up the history of meteor showers the other day, and back in the 1800s, there was a fantastic meteor shower that freaked people out in colonial and frontier America back then, and it was so great that it spawned religious groups who thought that it was a prediction of doomsday and the second coming of Jesus Christ. And many of the sects, religious sects that developed, splintered. Some of them became precursors of things like Jehovah's Witnesses and Seventh-day Adventists. So it turns out that the religious history in America was in part fertilized by sightings of gigantic meteor showers in outer space. So again, once again, for those people who tuned in late, tell us about how the average listener out there can see a meteor shower.
Okay, well, what you need to know is that the peak of the meteor shower is after 10 p.m. on the night, on Sunday night, December 13th, on the night of December 13th. Go out, away from city life after 10 p.m., after midnight's even better, and just look up and avoid any lights, especially avoid any white lights. If you need lights, try to use a red flashlight. And give your eyes plenty of time to adjust to the dark. 20 minutes is ideal. So don't just go out for a few minutes and think you'll see something. You need to give your eyes at least 20 minutes to adjust to the dark. So again, Sunday night, December 13th, after 10 p.m. Excellent reason to violate curfew in the event you live in a state where there is curfew imposed. So look up, get away from city lights, and just look wherever the sky is darkest. You don't need to know where the constellation Gemini is because meteors will appear all over the sky. At the peak, you should be able to see about 100 meteors an hour. If you're lucky, you might see more than that. But the most important thing is that the sky must be dark and your eyes must be dark adapted and avoid light.
And the meteor shower, as you mentioned, is because we're going through the debris trail of an asteroid. So does this happen every year? Every year does the Earth go through the debris trail of a comet or asteroid?
Every year at that time, yes. The Earth does go through that asteroid's debris trail. However, this year is especially good because the moon will not interfere. The biggest enemy of meteor observing is moonlight, because moonlight washes out the meteors. Of course, clouds also block your view of the meteor. So those are the two enemies of meteor observing, the moon and clouds. But, well, I can't predict what the weather is going to be like on the night of December 13th, but I can tell you that the moon will not be interfering whatsoever. It's so conditions in the sky are going to be absolutely perfect on the night of December 13th. Again, after 10 p.m., just go out where it's dark and look up.
Now, there's no danger from these things because the United States tracks. Astronomers around the world track the objects, near-Earth objects, that are perhaps larger than a large football field. However, things smaller than a football field can also create a tremendous amount of chaos on the planet Earth, and we don't track them. So isn't it possible, well, let's take a short commercial break, but isn't it possible that we can be caught off guard by one of these smaller asteroids and create all sorts of havoc? Once again, you're listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. After the break, we're going to continue a discussion of meteor showers and a new planet in the solar system. Stay tuned for Science Fantastic.
This is George Dory from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight, and nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, if you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. And with us today, once again, is astronomer Ken Croswell of Berkeley, author of Alchemy of the Heavens and a number of other great books. We're talking about what the universe is all about. And we're talking about meteor showers, the Gemini meteor shower, which you can catch in the next few days. But Ken, isn't it also true that larger asteroids could pose a problem? Specifically, there's an asteroid called Apophis is supposed to whiz by the planet Earth in 2029 and come back for a second try around 2036, I understand. And there's some worry, not much now, because we have better statistics now, but at one point people were worried that Apophis could actually strike the Earth. So Apophis being 1,000 feet across could do a considerable amount of damage, but smaller objects the size of a football field or smaller, could also create havoc. Look at what happened to Chelyabinsk in Russia just a few years ago. So isn't it true that we could still be caught off guard, that we don't track these smaller objects?
Yes. The problem with the smaller objects is not that we wouldn't like to track them. The problem is they're fainter and harder to see because they are smaller. We think we know about the rather larger things, things like the size of the asteroid that did in the dinosaurs some 66 million years ago. That asteroid was maybe 6, 7, 8 miles in diameter. The asteroid that produces the Geminid meteor shower, which we were talking about, the Arecibo radio telescope indicates is about 4 miles in diameter. So we know about asteroids of that size fairly well. But as you point out, the smaller ones, which would not lead to a mass extinction if they hit the Earth, but would do some damage, are harder to track. And there are more of them because, in general, just in nature in general, the smaller things outnumber the big things. And there are more small asteroids than big ones. So we think we know all about the big asteroids. It is the smaller ones that can indeed catch us off guard just because they're so faint and hard to see.
And just a few days ago, an object about, 20 feet across or so, just went right by the planet Earth at a distance of one-fifth the distance from the Earth to the Moon. And we were clueless. We had absolutely no warning of this until it whizzed by the planet Earth. And, well, these things happen. So don't you think that at some point in the future, we should launch satellites that could detect some of these smaller objects? Because even though they're smaller than a football field, that could still cause a lot of damage. An object the size of an apartment building would be enough to take out a city. So don't you think that we should spend some time tracking these things?
It definitely makes sense. Now, one way to view these small objects, by the way, is that they are leftovers from the formation of the planet Earth, right, and the other planets. So it was small objects coming together that formed the Earth. So we shouldn't be too distressed that there are these objects still out there. They are, in a way, a reminder that that's how Earth arose 4.6 billion years ago.
And speaking about debris in outer space, some people are applauding the fact that SpaceX, the pioneering organization led by Elon Musk, is going to launch maybe 1,000 mini-satellites to bring the Internet to everyone on the planet Earth. So even if you're in the middle of the ocean, even if you're in the middle of a deserted desert, you can access the Internet, compliments of SpaceX. But astronomers are not too happy because every time they take a photograph in outer space, who knows, maybe you're going to pick up the debris from one of these 1,000 satellites orbiting the Earth. And we just had another successful launch just a few days ago. So what's the consensus? What's the feeling among astronomers that maybe, just maybe, their photographs are going to be ruined by having up to 1,000 mini-satellites blocking the view? What are your thoughts?
Well, the concern is that you will have these objects streaking through images that, for example, telescopes are taking to look for these asteroids that we would like to discover and will be obstructing the view in that regard. So, yes, there is some concern among astronomers that these objects, being so numerous, could masquerade as celestial objects and potentially interfere with our work.
Okay, Ken, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. If you want to get on the air, then give us a call at 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station or website you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on almost 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. So, give us a call.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our Healthy Body Weight Loss System simply neutrophies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management. Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again with us today is astronomer Ken Croswell, author of Alchemy of the Heavens and a number of other great books that I highly recommend. And we're talking about your backyard, the universe. You should look up and see the glorious universe that we live in. But astronomers complain. First, they complained about light pollution, the fact that telescopes around Los Angeles were more and more obscured by the fact that L.A. was lighting up like a Christmas tree and ruining some of their astronomical work. And now astronomers are complaining about the fact that SpaceX, the pioneering organization that wants to go to the moon and Mars and beyond, that SpaceX is going to launch 1,000 mini-satellites in outer space to bring the Internet to the average person in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of a desert. Yes, you will have Internet access. But that means, again, hundreds, thousands of mini-satellites obscuring the view of astronomers. So SpaceX, in response, said that it would try to perhaps change the reflective ability of these objects so they don't reflect so much and perhaps put them in lower orbit around the Earth. But, well, has the astronomical community been assuaged by these measures that SpaceX will lower the altitude of these satellites and perhaps give them some absorptive ability to absorb starlight? What are your thoughts?
Well, it would certainly be nice. Simply painting them as black as possible would be fantastic, because then they'll be considerably fainter and will be less of a problem for astronomers. But yes, astronomers are definitely concerned about these things.
Okay, now also, if you scan the Internet, there's been rumbling every now and then about a new Planet X. Well, Pluto, of course, according to most astronomers, was kicked out of the solar system unceremoniously. So we have 9 planets going out to Neptune. But there's always been talk about a 10th planet, not Pluto-sized, but Neptune-sized, orbiting the Earth, orbiting the Sun beyond the planet of Neptune. And there was also a recent blip on the Internet just last week stating that ancient conceptions of our early solar system billions of years ago showed that there could have been a planet, again the size of Neptune, between Neptune and Uranus that was hurled into outer space, leaving a gap. But what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about the fact that maybe there is a Planet X, a giant planet, not just like Pluto, and maybe there was an ancient Planet X as well? What are your thoughts?
Well, we have, various astronomers have thought that there might be a giant planet beyond the orbit of Neptune ever since the 1800s. Percival Lowell thought there was. Percival Lowell was best known for his work on Mars, but he, during his lifetime, led a search for a 9th planet. That search did not bear fruit during his life, but in 1930, Clyde Tombaugh, who worked at Lowell Observatory, discovered a new planet beyond the orbit of Neptune. However, that planet turned out not to be a giant planet, but a planet smaller than Earth, and that is the planet Pluto. The question is there still any good evidence for a large planet beyond the orbit of Neptune and the planet Pluto? And the answer there is not at all clear. During the 1980s, there were signs that the orbits of Uranus and Neptune were being perturbed by something. However, in the early 90s, an astronomer named Miles Standish reanalyzed the data and showed that it was actually incorrect knowledge of the mass of Neptune that led to these apparent irregularities. Neptune had received a spacecraft by the Voyager 2 spacecraft in 1989, and it gave us a much more precise mass estimate of Neptune. And when Miles Standish used the new mass of Neptune, the evidence for that giant planet beyond Uranus and Neptune wiped away. Now, more recent years, there has been additional evidence that maybe there is a giant planet out there, Planet X. But my attitude is, if you want to convince me that there really is a giant planet out there, you're going to have to find it and show me where it is. Because, as I say, astronomers have been suggesting this idea ever since the 1800s, and they have found no firm evidence for it. They haven't found any planet. Okay, so you need to find the planet. Now, in the early days of our solar system, it's certainly possible that the solar system had more than the four giant planets that we see today. The four giant planets are Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune. There could have been a fifth giant planet, perhaps comparable to the masses of Uranus and Neptune. But as those four and five planets actually interacted, one of them got flung away, maybe into a very wide orbit around the sun, or maybe kicked out of the solar system altogether. So it is possible there was a fifth giant planet, but if it was kicked out of the solar system altogether, there's no way we're ever going to be able to find it.
And also bringing it closer to home, the moon, recently scientists were amazed to find that there is water on the moon, not just in small quantities perhaps near the poles, but perhaps toward the center of the moon. But what are your thoughts about water being found on the moon? Is it ice water? Is it drinkable water? Is it water usable for astronauts? What about the recent statements that there is water on the moon?
Well, there probably is some water on the moon. Water is actually a very simple compound. It's simply hydrogen and oxygen. Hydrogen is the most common element in the universe. Oxygen is the third most common element in the universe. And so H2O, water, exists in many places. For example, rings of Saturn are made of water ice, and there is probably some water in the form of ice on the moon, especially in the polar region.
Okay. Unfortunately, Ken, we've run out of time. But, Ken, thank you so much once again for being on Science Fantastic.
You're very welcome.
And once again, Ken Croswell, astronomer at Berkeley, is the author of a number of great books, including Alchemy of the Heavens, and you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. If you want to be part of the March of Science, then give us a call, 612-564-8135 is the number to call. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station or website, and the city you're calling from, and maybe you can have your thoughts heard on national radio. So once again, for Science Fantastic, this is Professor Michio Kaku at mkaku.org.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now, 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now, 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.